thankful for the opportunity to be able to be here tonight and read from God's holy word. I want to look at a subject we've looked at some over the years. Brother Billy has certainly touched on it recently. You can't get away from it. I want to talk to you tonight about the heart. How many people here have a heart condition? I know Brother Billy has had a heart condition. His heart's quit like 13, 14 times. Thank God it's been a long time. God has done a great miracle there. Brother David's had bypass surgery twice. Some of you others, I don't want to leave anybody out. I know sometimes folks like to have their war injuries. But a lot of times, people have heart conditions. Now, when you have a heart condition, it really affects you, Brother Billy. In fact, if your heart stayed quit long enough, you'd be dead. And it affects you, not only does it make you, when your heart stops, I mean, you go out, you can't think, you can't act, you can't do anything. When your heart slows down, it affects you. Brother Billy used to get so dizzy, he couldn't hardly make it up here. You could touch them, they'd be cold. You see, the heart is important. And really, I want to get to the heart of the matter because that's really our problems. Some of you, your heart's doing pretty good right now, pumping pretty well. But some of us, we have heart problems. And a lot of times, you know, when you have heart problems, and really all of us, though today you might be doing pretty good, all of us have a heart condition because it's within our hearts to go astray. All have gone astray. Our hearts, every one of us, is turned away from God. Now, God has implanted His Spirit within our heart, but we have a dual nature. We have the fleshly heart, and He's given us a new heart, but we still have the flesh. We still have the old man. We still have the Adam nature. The sinful nature. And so, you know, it's about like, almost Siamese twins joined together. Someone talking about at Turner today, they saw a special about the twins that were joined together at the head. Well, we're joined together almost heart and heart. And it's like, you know, the spirit lusts after the flesh and the flesh after the spirit. They're totally separate, yet we have all of this going on in us in this one body. This one mind. I've got a split personality. So do you. Got a lot of friends that have a lot of split personalities. Some days really want to serve God, and other days want to follow the flesh. Get angry, get mad, get upset. Well, that's all of us are there to a degree. And really it depends on what the condition of your spiritual heart is, or whether you're natural man. Now naturally in the flesh we want a strong heart physically, but you've got the spirit of man heart. And in this spirit of man, it all depends what condition. And the Bible said we're to crucify the flesh. That means kill the flesh. Destroy the heart of man. Now I want to go ahead and start in 2 Chronicles. I think that's where we begin tonight, if I can find the text that I'm after. In 2 Chronicles, I'll give you a verse, Lord willing, in just a minute. Give me just a moment here. I think this will be where we start. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 33. Now, there's a lot in the Bible about the heart, because that's really the heart of the matter. Now we're to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But I want to tell you tonight that unless your heart is really upon the Lord, then you're not going to be giving the Lord your mind. You're not going to be giving the Lord your strength. Because your mind, we need the Lord with serve the Lord with our intellect. But more than anything else, we have heart condition. Now, Brother Billy's heart condition was caused by a virus, and it weakened the heart muscle where it's not pumping. Well, I want to tell you, we all have a virus, so to speak, and it's called sin, and it weakens our spiritual heart. And he's on medication, and above all, God has blessed him and performed a great miracle in his life. And God has done that to every one of us, spiritually speaking. We've been regenerated. We have the new birth. Now we have, as God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is calling you. The desire you have to do good. You already have the desire to do evil. You are born with that. But now you have a desire to do good. You want to do good, part of you. And yet, you know, there's a part of me that don't. Paul said it like this, the good that I would, that I do not, the evil that I would not, that I do. Paul had it. He was one of the most greatest Christians that's ever walked on the face of earth. So who am I if I think I'm not going to be the same way? I'm going to have a battle. But the problem is this. It all depends who you feed. How strong is your spiritual heart? Or if the man of flesh, the Adamic nature, if that man, if you only have a fleshly strong heart in the body, and if the spirit of man in your heart, the natural man, if it's the only strong heart in you, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a major problem. I'm going to have a major problem. So now here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, let's look in verse 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this referred to Jehoshaphat. It said, howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Now it talks about, and you can go through Chronicles, you can go through in several places in Chronicles and Kings, and you'll find some statements that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Or you'll find one that it said they did good in the sight of the Lord. In fact, in chapter 25 and 2 said, referring to Amaziah, it said, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But listen what it said. Now this is where most of us are. Are you doing well in the sight of the Lord? Are they some good things in your life? I know they are. I see it in your life. I see it in mine, some good things. Being here tonight is a good thing. Reading the Word of God is a good thing. It means that part of your heart is desiring God. But listen what he says now. In verse 2 it said, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. You know what that meant? That means not with a complete heart. You know what that is? That means that your heart is weakened, as Brother Billy's has been in the flesh, as Brother David had a double bypass or triple bypass twice or whatever it was. You know, your heart, and they had to do a surgical condition to be able to remove. And in fact, the Bible tells us that as well. Now, God took care and circumcised us in one sense with our heart. But I want to tell you today that we're to cut away the fleshliness of the heart. We're to circumcise our hearts as well. That means cut it away. Cut away the carnality. And that's going to be the only way that you and I are going to have a stronger heart. Now we talk about it. We sing songs about it. Oh, how I love Jesus. We sing songs about him. You know, I meet a lot of people a lot of times, and a lot of people talking, and a lot of people talk about how they love God and serve God, want to serve God, and yet you don't see it in their lives. How is it? I believe just as this individual here, that he served God as Amaziah did, but not with a perfect heart. That is, part of his heart desired God, but there was still, he hadn't done a circumcision of the heart. That is, there was still fleshliness in the heart, a desire for the carnality. And I believe that that's where we're always going to battle this to a degree. But I want to tell you, that individual can become a perfect individual. That does not mean sinless. We can be where our hearts are turned toward God to the best of our ability, above our ability through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can cut off this flesh. We can cut off these carnal desires. Now, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So what it really seems is that we have to reevaluate what really matters most to us. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been around a lot, I've experienced a lot in my own self, and one thing I know is that an addiction is formed by giving yourself to that addiction. Now, some things you're addicted right off the bat. Other things, it takes a while. You know, some things taste horrible. You wouldn't imagine anybody getting addicted to liquor or to booze. You wouldn't imagine anybody being addicted to a cigarette. You know, they take a puff and they cough and cough. And yet they continue doing that. I'm going to tell you tonight That's some of what you and I have to do, is certainly put away those things. But spiritually speaking, is that there are some things that don't feel as good, taste as good to begin with in serving God, but you have to do them. And as you do it, before long, you develop a habit, an addiction. In fact, one place it said, these are they which have addicted themselves to the ministering of the saints. That is, does everybody, see our fleshly ideas, I like to be ministered to. I want people doing for me. That's the carnal flesh. And there's a part of me that loves that. I mean, I'm easy to be spoiled. I like to be spoiled, and it's easy for that away. But every one of us, we have to cut off that, and we have to learn what Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, to begin with, that addiction, it don't feel like it's true. That desire, it's not more. It's more blessed to get. All of us like getting. But I want to tell you, it's true when you have experienced this in your life, when you give, the feeling you have, getting that feeling, oh, you appreciate it, but that feeling is kind of gone in a little bit. But when you give, you have a good feeling. You have a when you give from the heart, from a desire to love God, when you love God and you love the people, you love the people of God, you want to serve God, you want to serve people because you love God. When you do that, Then you have a good feeling in your heart, your soul. You have peace and a desire. But what I want us to try to focus on tonight is that these people here had not yet prepared. It says, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts. That tells me there's something that you can do. If you've got a heart problem, there's some preparation. Now, if it goes so far, I want to tell you, He's already touched our heart. He's already. And sometimes now, even after you've been born again and you have a heart of God in you, the Spirit of God within you, still you have the gods of this world, and your fleshly heart is strong, and your spiritual heart is weak. What you have to do, you have to begin to change your diet. Brother David's, They told him not only the stress, but also you have a diet change, or should, and probably have a hard time with that. In fact, I know so. And if I was in his condition, I would have the same problem, I'm sure. But as a individual with a heart condition, that cholesterol gathers, it's like a magnet to his arteries, he's to have a diet change. And he had to have a job change, and had to go out, or they told him the stress would kill him, because stress is worse than anything. Well, I want to tell you tonight is that really, spiritually speaking, that's a lot of what's wrong with us, is the stress of life. You know what Jesus tells us in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to be clothed. Now, is that saying not prepare? Is that saying blow all your money? No, that's not saying that. But that's saying, don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. Is that trusting God? You do what's right. You serve God. God to take care of all the things that you need. Now, how many of you know that? How many of us know? How many of us have experienced that of God providing? I've heard story after story after story. Brother Billy, God has performed miracles. Brother David, so many people. I've experienced it where even smaller things, when I didn't know where it was going to come, and God granted that. Now, I tell you, sometimes we trust to the degree that we say, well, I'm going to just kind of do my own thing, enjoy my life, and expect God to bail me out of trouble that I got into. It don't work that way now. Is that when you do that, God will let you sit there to learn a lesson because He loves you. But you see, we have to learn, our hearts must be turned to the Lord. And there's a preparation. In fact, listen to what James says. And this is a lot of the preparation. But I'm going to look at another passage before I even go there. In Psalms, I'm going to start in Psalms 57. Now, I know the context of this, and the word fixed here has actually, it means that you're focused or established on the Lord. But I want to tell you, really, you can take that and you can make it mean exactly what we're talking about here. You got heart problems, you want a fixed heart, you want a whole heart, you want a complete heart, then if we do what he says right here in Psalms 57, then our hearts will be fixed. That is, you'll have a whole heart, you'll have a complete heart when you're focused on God. When we begin to change, get rid of some of the fatty spiritual facts in our life and began to focus more on what we ought to do and what we ought to focus on. You know, a lot of us are not far from the kingdom of God. There's a lot of things that are right in our lives, but there's still some half-heartedness. There's still some fatty stuff in our lives, spiritually speaking. There's still some things that's wrong. And I or you will not experience all that you can and will and need to in the Lord. And you won't be healthy and able to run and able to do like you can unless your whole heart is given to the Lord. Now here in Psalms 57, listen what he says here. In Psalms 57 and 7 it says, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praises." Now, brethren, I want to tell you, your heart can be fixed, all right. And this Psalms, if we do what he says, fixing our heart on God, that is, putting our emotions, our desire toward God. Now what we treasure is what we go after. So that's really what we've got to, that's where our emotions will be. That's where our desires will be. So you got to change. I want to tell you, sometimes we go so far out there that all you can do is kind of like, you know, I desire to do what's right. It's kind of like that man in Mark chapter 9. Where he tells us there, he said, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." Sometimes you got to say, "Save me, Lord, and I be saved." That word "save" means deliver. Deliver me, and I be saved. Create in me another heart. And he's already done that in one way. But fill me. Remove this old fleshly heart. I want to tell you that a child of God can get just as cold. That's why he says in the Psalms in several places, "Quicken thou me according to thy word." You know what that word "quicken" means? Make alive. Quicken my heart. Make me feel alive again. And I want to tell you, he says, "Seek me and ye shall find me. Knock it shall be open unto you." Is that if we seek the Lord, we'll find the Lord. But if we don't seek the Lord, we won't find him. Brother Billy mentioned in preaching recently as well, is that if we forsake the Lord, he'll forsake us. But if we seek him, we will find him. You know, that's one thing I've experienced in my life in 25 years of serving the Lord thus far. Is God has never failed me that when I have sought him with my desire and heart. You know, I'm just amazed that God is so gracious. You know, there's times I've sought the Lord. There's times my heart's fixed on the Lord. And isn't it amazing how soon you can be going, you can have your heart focused on the Lord. Boy, it's pumping. It's pumping Jesus. Jesus. And before long, it starts fibrillating. It's just out there like that. Before long, it's just the beating goes down. You know what that really is? Half-heartedness. You know what our hearts need to be? I won't ever forget that back yonder, and most of y'all remember this because I preached a lot about it, some 19 years ago, heading toward 20, really 20, 21 years ago, when me and Agnes started courting. I would go out to Baptist Village at 11:30 of a night. I would wait on her. I was getting up at 4:30 and 5 in the morning. I would wait on her, and we would sit out there under the light or come to the church underneath the light here and talk. I would see her come out the door. And boy, my heart would go racing. You know, it would go because I loved her, and I love her now. But, you know, I wanted to be with her. I just wanted, my heart was fixed toward her. And I desired her. And so, you see, that's kind of how it is with God. That's what we need. It's more than just our heart just kind of beating a little bit. You know what happens when your heart beats a little bit like that? Your heart faints. You begin to faint in the flesh. You begin to faint spiritually speaking. Because when your heart don't beat good, Brother Billy, what happens? You start going down. You start passing out. You start going. Well, that's why you and I pass out spiritually. Is that our hearts are not beating good. It's not beating like it ought to be beating. And a full beats that pumping blood to all the other parts of our spiritual body. That is, I love God. I want to serve God. And I'm not just fibrillating. That is, I'm not just a shooting star that just wants attention and want everybody to look at me. But I'm doing my job. My body spiritually is beating and I'm serving people. You know, that's the only way you're going to be able to serve God. In fact, let me go ahead and mention a couple of others, beginning in Matthew chapter 13, some of the negative aspects. Matthew chapter 13. See, we're reared up to begin with by playing. We like to play. Some people never grow up. Some people spend their whole life playing. Now, in one sense of the word, the Bible said, except, you know, you be as a child, you know wise, become as little children, you know wise enter in the kingdom of heaven. What he's talking about there is malice, hatred, animosity. A child will trust their daddy. A child will trust their mama. A child has great trust. A child has great affections toward their parents. I mean, you think your parents are the best. You think you're, you know, everything about them. You love them if you're, you know, as a child. And then you grow up and things change sometimes. But brother, I want to tell you is that as children of God, we need to have that love for God, that in forgiving one another, loving one another. You know, it don't matter if it's two white and a black child. When you're small enough, it don't matter if they're Hispanic, black, Chinese. You love them. You know, you can get along with one another. It's the parents. It's the people as you mature and grow where people begin to have hatreds and prejudices. And he said, except we become as little children, we in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. But what he tells us as well is in understanding, we're to be men. In knowledge, we're to be men and women of God. In knowledge, we're to have and make a difference in our lives with knowledge in that way. And keep the childlike faith, the childlike forgiving spirit. And yet he tells us in his word here that we'll be looking at in Matthew chapter 13 and 15 is that sometimes our hearts are not fixed on God and our heart is far from the Lord. Listen to what he says. He said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing and their eyes have closed lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." You see, he's saying now these individuals, their heart is waxed gross. You know, when something's waxed, you think it's like an apple where they take and put wax or dip it in wax. Things are waxed sometimes. Floors are waxed. They're shiny. They slip off. Well, this saying that there's grossness. Waxed gross. People's hearts are not what they ought to be. And right over here in Matthew chapter 15, I believe it is, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, listen to what he says here in 15 and 8. In fact, I started in 7. It says here, he said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know what that's talking about? Playing. Talking about playing religion. Talking about coming to church and singing a song that says, "All to Jesus, all to Jesus." You know, or "I surrender all." Don't worry, I won't sing for long. But "I surrender all." All to Jesus. What's all the other songs that we like singing? And they're good songs. They're songs of commitment. You know, but the problem is sometimes that commitment, we sing it, and then we leave, and it's no more committed to the Lord, you know, because we want a half-hearted service sometimes. And though most of us deep down would really want to be close to God, yet we want to hang on. We want to hang on to the old fleshly things, the fleshly way. I'm going to tell you, it won't work. The only way, you'll reap some blessings for a while perhaps, but eventually your heart will wax gross. You know, in fact, he talked about that because iniquity abounded, the love of many waxed cold. You know, the love, you could even say the heart. Where does the love originate? In the heart, and the feelings, the emotions, the desire. You see, because iniquity abounds, there are things that, in fact, that's why it says in James, he says it like this as well in James. Listen to this. In the book of James, give me just a moment to find it here. He says, in James chapter 4, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I mean, man, that's a positive statement. Submitting. See, most of the time we want to come to God on our terms. We want to come to God and kind of half-heartedly. That is, you know, "Lord, I'm coming. I joined the church, but now I'm not going to give you everything." I mean, it's kind of like me and Brother Davis talked to one another a bit over the years, and Brother David's very honest sometimes when Brother Billy's asking questions in Bible study. It's like the rich young ruler, okay? And most of us, I'm going to tell you, we might feel that we're pretty spiritually mature. But you get down to it now. If God told you tonight, if God told me tonight, sell all you have and give, not to the preacher, but give to the poor, everything. I mean, what would be your response? Brother Billy, I want you to sell all of your guns. I want you to get rid of your red truck. I want you to get rid of your house. Now, I'm going to tell you, I can talk like, Brother Philip, I want you to get rid of every tool that you bought at the pawn shop. All your weed eaters, all your lawnmowers. I want you to get rid of everything. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, I can preach this, but it's a total different thing to do it. Why? Because I desire a lot of these things. A lot of these things my heart is too much upon. A lot of these things your heart is too much upon. You like your house. Now, is there anything wrong? In fact, a lot of times you love your house. You know, we have things like, I love my truck. That's exactly what some of us do. Our affections, our heart is on our truck. Our affection, our heart is on our things. On our stuff. And Jesus comes along to tell that rich young ruler, because see, right after that, the apostle said, who then can be delivered? That's what the word saved me. Who then? Why? Because they saw themselves as individuals that were rich. They had all kind of stuff. And they had very little compared to every one of us here today. I was hearing a thing on the radio today. They said 1 billion people in this world now lives on less than $1 a day. They said 2.5 million people live on less than $2 a day. 80-some-odd% of the world lives on less than $10,000 a year. Now, I'm going to tell you, most everybody here, except for a few, and even those that are in retirement center, you have your living provided or your homes provided as far as you being fed and clothed. And having things provided, and you might be some of the poorest in that sense of the word, yet every one of us here have everything provided. And there's people in this world that don't know where their next meal's coming from. And yet you'll find in what I read and what I hear is that some of the most happy and committed people to Jesus is people in other countries. Whatever their understanding might be. If they love God, it seems they love Him with all their heart. Why? Because they don't have anything that are getting between them and the Lord. That old song we sing sometimes, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Can you sing that tonight with a desire? You know what it ought to be? It, Lord, I want nothing between. I want to clean my heart out. I want to get the cholesterol out of my veins to where they can pump and flow and be the blood of Christ just pumping through my veins. I want to have that kind of love. I want to have that kind of fervor. But the problem is our desires. Our heart, too many of us is walking in the flesh in things. And he says in James, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee, draw nigh to God, and listen to what he says, and he will draw nigh to you. Positive. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. See, double-mindedness. Now, it says that basically a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know what double-minded man would be? We could even say a double-hearted man, even though he's talking about intellect in a sense. You could also say that that's the problem we have, a double-hearted. Is that we desire the Lord, and yet, you know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm going to tell you, most of us are like the rich young ruler. And we can be another way. There's a few people that are. But most are like the rich young ruler, that is, that God, I serve you, but on my own turn, I give you my 10%, okay? Tithing. I believe it's a biblical example, 10%. Above that would be an offering. You might give 10%, you might give 15%, you might give 20%. But you know what most of us do? Is that the rest is mine. Lord, I give you that 20, I mean, that, or that 20, or that 10, or that 15. But the rest is mine. Woo, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to do. I'm going to travel. I'm going to do. I'm going to buy. Well, you know, is there anything wrong with enjoying this world? No. as God would lead us and guide us, we ought to enjoy. We ought to use these things, but it ought to be for the good of others. It ought to be for the good of your family. It ought to be for your own good. Your own good to have everything you desire or see. That's not for your good. That's not for mine. The rich young ruler, it says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, that story could have ended another way. He could have been where he didn't desire. Remember Solomon's life after he said, you know, Lord, I desire you. I just want wisdom. He could have said that. He could have went out there and sold all he had. Now, God might have blessed him with more. Now, there's always the possibility God has this right, is that he wouldn't have. That is that, you know, just because you give your heart to the Lord don't mean you're going to get everything. Just because you set your heart and affections on Him don't mean everything in the world is going to come your way. Don't mean everything you want is going to come and it's not going to happen like you want. But the idea is this, is that you set your heart on the Lord. Is that I set my heart, that I cleanse my heart, purify your heart, ye double-minded. That is, brethren, they need cleaning, again, purifying what you need. Sometimes it requires spiritual surgery. You know, whatever your eye sees, whatever your hands are doing, whatever your feet are doing, you got to cut it off. You know, you could say a circumcision of the heart. You got to cut away something. Some things you can't handle. I can't handle. And it might be all right, but you can't handle it. I can't handle it. Now, some things none of us need to handle. Because sin, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I'm just going to enjoy. I'm just going to look over there. I'm just going to look a little bit. I'm not going to mess with it. I'm just going to look. No, David looked. You know what happened? Just a look. That's all it took. It wasn't long before he was going after it, and it destroyed his life, destroyed his family. The sword never departed from his life. Why? Because of a double heart to a degree. Now, bar that, David's heart was fixed on the Lord. But I want to tell you, friend, is that David had a heart problem as well. And tonight, if I can leave you with anything, is I want you and me to prepare our heart. This is still the beginning of the year, but I don't care if it was the end of the year. You and I have another night, another day, if God grants us tomorrow, that I'm going to prepare my heart. Now, preparation means there's got to be something going on. He said, purify your hearts, you double-minded. The psalmist said, I've hid thy word in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. There are things you got to do to your heart in preparation of it, and things you got to get rid of, things you got to add, things you got to get rid of. Medication is the word of God. Things you got to get rid of are things that are clogging up the arteries of your veins that will lead to a heart attack. When a heart attack occurs, your heart can be damaged and be destroyed to the point that, spiritually speaking, you suffer death because of things in your life and mine. You will never experience the joys of God's kingdom and will be under the judgments of God. But isn't it wonderful that when our hearts are turned toward the Lord, when they're prepared to the Lord, we can experience the kingdom and its greatness. We can have and enter into the kingdom of God. There's a lot more that we could look at, but Lord willing, we'll stop here tonight. I just want to ask you this question. Is your heart fixed? Or do you need some heart surgery? Do you need some medication? It's found right here. The Word of God. Jesus is the doctor. The people of God can help you ministering to cut away some things that's wrong in your life and mine. That's what we're to do. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. I can't tote you. I can walk with you. I can help you. If you're willing to walk, that's what we're to do, is to help one another walk in the way of God. Help one another perform the surgery. Help one another look to Jesus, that our heart would be whole and perfect, that our hearts would be prepared. God bless you. Brother Billy preaches this so often that we need to prepare our hearts. Brother Richard prayed. Another one that prayed mentioned, Lord, prepare our heart. And that's good. Lord, prepare our heart. We need to be asking God, because we can't do it alone. But I'm going to tell you is that what we need to say too, and Brother Richard, you're right, to pray that God prepare our hearts. We're here now. Help us. But I want to tell you, God, help us to prepare our hearts. Help us to prepare our minds. You know, and if you waited, if I waited, sometimes God just intervenes in His mercy and helps us. But if we waited to get here tonight to start preparing, then we probably too late. I mean, we can do some things, but when you ought to be preparing is when you get your rest the night before, when you get your meditation the week before, the night before, when you study and when you pray and when you're serving. Those are things. When you purify your hearts and when you purify something and get rid of some things, you start to have desire, change. Actively say, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to make yourself. Say, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to think on that. I'm not going to act that away. I'm not going to do that. You slip, get back up. Don't do it. Turn away from those things, preparing your heart that when you come to the house of God, Jesus is here manifesting your life, and Jesus will help you. And Jesus will manifest His presence to you and me. God help us to do so, for Christ's sake, is my prayer.